I just want to thank you all for participating and attending the Siyum. I thought it was a very nice event. I want to thank you. You said such nice things about me, I'm telling you. My head is swollen. It's a good thing I don't wear a... way over the top. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Oh, my pleasure. Eish is chayil. That's a nice, unique. A unique. You gonna get one? Okay, we gotta get you one. You gonna get one? Okay, so I gotta get him some more. Okay, Bali Neder. Bali Neder. Okay, Bali Neder. I'll get some more.
I didn't bench.
You're an addict anyway.
Okay, let's begin. We're up to Pasuk Hey. We're up to Perek Beis. Perek Beis Pasuk Hey. Hoy Hashem ki oyev Bila Yisrael. Hashem was like an enemy. Bila Yisrael. He swallowed. What? Perek Beis. Perek Beis Pasuk Hey. Hoyo Hashem ki oyev Bila Yisrael. Bila kol armin oseho. Hashem was like an enemy. We learned last week that Hashem was not a real enemy. Hashem only made believe that he was like an enemy. Bila Yisrael, he swallowed the Jewish people. Bila kol ar min oseh, he swallowed all of the palaces. Shicheis mitzarav, he destroyed the strongholds. Vayerev bevas Yehuda, he increased, he caused, Hashem caused to increase among the Jewish people. In Bas Yehuda, ta'aniya va'aniya, two expressions of mourning. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik Hey. Vayerev bevas Yehuda, hirbe. Vayerev, Rashi is right away jumping to the end, towards the end of the pasuk. Hashem caused to increase. Hirbe bichneses Yisrael ta'aniya va'aniya tsar v'yalala. Okay, so according to Rashi, Rashi taking a very simple translation of these two words, it means various forms of pain. We're going to see in the Targum there's a deeper interpretation to this, but let's see, for right now we'll leave it with this. Hashem caused tsar v'yalala vayeref. Now what does it mean? The Rashi is going to analyze the grammar of the word vayeref. Nakud yud komatz katan. Now komatz katan, we have over here a segel. Nakud yud komatz katan shuloshon hirbe es acherim. Okay, right. The word over here is spelled with a komatz katan. The komatz katan, I guess, is the same thing as a segel. Rashi has a lot of different terminology. We are not familiar with Rashi's terminology. Rashi has different terminology in the way we describe the vowels. And Rashi's komatz katan means not vayorev. Vayorev would mean a komatz. That would be a heavy syllable. A komatz is a heavy. A komatz in the place of chama yored. A komatz is generally a heavy symbol. It's a heavy vowel. For example, when you have a shva that comes after a komatz, it is always a shva no. A shva no, which means that the komatz, it's almost like the end of a word. It's the end of an expression. It's heavy. And therefore, we have to start, you give out all of your breath. And you have to then, after you finish saying the komatz, expressing the komatz, you have to then start fresh. Unless you have a komatz katan. A komatz katan is a...
katan is like a chaylo.
A komatz katan, okay.
Very often it's there.
The new tikkunim, the very advanced tikkunim, they actually, you know, you have to be in the old tikkunim and in the sidurim, they don't indicate when a komatz is a komatz katan. And you have to be a bucky in diktuk to figure it out on your own. But some of the new tikkunim, and even some of the simonim. I mean, there are others also. Today, a lot of people are copying tikkun simonim. Uh-huh. They even have now a simonim sidur. And there they indicate.
No,
they didn't have the svar yet.
No, okay.
Yes. Not so sure. Could we have? I think they have this site.
No, I haven't seen
that.
The
don't care.
They don't
see the norm.
Okay, whatever it is. But so here Rashi's terminology is a yud. So here it's not going to be a komatz vayyom. It's going to be vayerev. Vayerev yud komatz katan shuloshen here be esachirim, which means Hashem caused others. Hashem caused the Jewish people to mourn. Vayora for Om, we have another, but you know, give them examples. Vayora for Om, Vayatsmu Me'od, Vayirev. Here the Yud is a Chigrash, just giving different examples of the same exact these letters, and how it's used differently in different places in Tanakh. Vayirev for Om, Vayatsmu Me'od. There in that Pasik, Vayirev is Loshan Nakud Chirik. There it is a dot, one dot underneath the Yud, Shuloshan Riba. That they themselves, not that Hashem caused them to increase. But Rabbi Yirev Ha'am, the people themselves increased. Lashon Ribehu Es Atzmoi V'chein Kol Teva Shapal Shalom Behei. Any word Shapal Shalom Behei, that its root. The Paul means the root of the word ha ends with a hey. Kegoin Pona Zocha Bocha Kein Darka L'Shamesh Keshehu Mechasem V'mena Hey. When we omit, when we drop the hay and we change the form kishohu midaber al atzmo, and when the word is used, like here the word rava, the real word for here for vayorev, vayerev, or vayirev should be rava, resh beis hay. That's the poal. That is the shurish. Now we are taking the word and we are using it in an unusual way. We're dropping the hay and we're using it as a verb. And we're describing what's happening, so then we can describe that it's something that happened to it itself, or it caused something to happen to others. So the rule is that when we drop the hay, kishahu medaber al atzmai nakud chirik, when you speak about yourself, it's going, for example, vayifen paro. Paro himself turned. The world, the shurish is pono, to turn. Here, paro, using the word in the form of our paro himself turning, so it's vayifen, kishahu medaber al achirim, and when we use the word to someone else, nakud komatz. Kigoin, for example, va'yefen zonov el zonov, which in that context means that it caused the zonov one tail to turn to itself, to turn toward to itself. So there, that context, it doesn't mean that it itself turned. It caused that there should be turning, that one end should turn to the other end. Another example, va'yigel yehud. The Kshurish is Golo, means to be exiled. So here when it says Yehud itself was exiled, it's Vayigel. Vayigel Yehud Me'al Admaso, Yehud was exiled from its land. But when we want to use the word, when you want to use the word that they were caused, someone else caused them to go into exile, then it's Vayegel Melech Bavel Es Yisrael Ashura. That Melech Bavel caused the Jewish people to go into Golus, into Ashura. So here, just basically, just look over here, the word over here, the fact that over here, the Masori is that it's Vayerev, and not that it's Vayerev, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one who caused Bas Yehuda to suffer at Ta'aniyah. Va'aniya. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum Pasuk. Hey, Havo Hashem Domei. Hashem was like, Domei means similar, Kive'el Divava, like an enemy. That's what the Pasuk here says. Hashem, the Targum makes it very clear that it was Domei. Hashem was not Mamish an enemy, because if Hashem was Mamish an enemy, you would say, Hoye Hashem Oyev. The fact that it says Ki Oyev is what triggers the Targum to write Domei Kive'el Divava. Sheitzei Yisrael, Hashem destroyed. We had that word multiple times. Sheitzei means to destroy Yisrael. Sheitzei kol bir neyasa, all of the palaces. Chabil, Hashem has destroyed kol kirvei patsichoha, all of the strongholds, the patsicha. Here it translates the perazos, the open cities. There are the walled cities and there are the closed cities. So first the Targum says bir niyasa, that's the palaces. Chabil kol kirve patsicha. I'm sorry, chaval kol ori haperazos. Patsicha says mivtsarav. Mivtsarav means So with the fortified city. So it's seemingly what the Targum is doing, according to what he says over here. I don't know if this is subject to debate what the Targum really means, but it seems that because of the contrast between Arminosecha and the word Mivtzarav, the Arminosecha are the fortified cities, and the Mivtzarav means they're strong cities, but does not necessarily mean that they're walled cities. Being that we have here these two words contrasted one next to another, one they're juxtaposed. What?
Also, because we have Pasuk Beis. All the cities, meaning the walled cities, were all raised to the ground.
So what then is the pasuk coming to it over here?
Now he's adding the open
cities. Even the open cities are also called fortified. They're fortified because they're well defended. Even though they do not have walls, they still have soldiers that are guarding them at the open areas. The Aske Hashem caused to increase the Bichnishta the Beis Yehuda Aveilusa Va'ani Nusa. Here the Targum says something very different than Rashi. Hashem caused to rise up in Klal Yisrael Aveilus and Aninus. Not like Rashi that said it just simply meant Tsar and Yelola. Here, the difference between Tsar and Yelola and Avelus and Aninus is a matter of halacha. Person can. Oh, that's another very important question. But let's just focus on the first general. I try to look at the general difference between Rashi and the Targum. Rashi is just telling us that you just don't feel good. So people every day, they have situations where people are just not in the mood. You're just in a state of tsar. But that has absolutely no halachic ramifications. Just because you're in a bad mood, you're in pain, you got the root canal, and your mouth hurts, you're in tsar, and you're in yalala, you may be screaming in agony. Okay, just take an aspirin, take a Tylenol, do something, but you have still an obligation to daven, you have an obligation to do mitzvahs, you have to live your life in a regular way. But when a person is in a state of avelos and aninos, it's a different ballgame. Aninos and onin is potter from all mitzvahs. An ovel is restricted. He's not allowed to be oisek in marital in yonim, and he's not allowed to be engaged in business. Marais was always warning people that a rachmanel to a person is not available. He has a business, he has to sell his business. The business continues to be in operation, just like on Pesach, you're not allowed to own chametz, you're not allowed to operate a business when a person is not available, and you have to make a shut for some, we have to sell to a guy. He was always mentioning this halach that's not well known. There are halachic restrictions to a person who is in a state of avelus and halachic. You can also, you're right. You can, I take it back. You're correct, you're right, I made a mistake. You're right. Okay, and also, okay, but naninos is halachic. So here we're talking about, now here is a very interesting question. Before we go to Rav Meir, Meir is the question, naninos comes before avelus. It's a very deep idea, and according to Targum, that the order is reversed. But let's first focus on another idea. Every year on Tisha B'Av, when we commemorate Tisha B'Av, the Churban, we indeed are in a state of avelos. We know that we don't engage in business. At least not until Chatzos, and we sit. It's the minik. Even though there's really no makar for this, there's a minik. There's a remes coming up in a few psukim that we're supposed to sit on the floor. We are noyeg avelos. We don't say tachnun. One besides the fact that it's a korolai moed sosam tefilosi or avelim. It's a moed. Okay, but it's also avelos. We noyeg klal yisrael is noyeg avelos. But when are we noyeg aninos? Aninos, where is the aninos? So he has here in this sefer the Surasi Bamedinos, the discussion that the aninos is erev Tisha B'Av. Is the time of aninus. Erev Tisha B'Av, to some degree, is more chomor than Tisha B'Av. There's one very, very curious thing about Tisha B'Av, is why do we fast? Obviously, we're fasting because it's a yom, it's a tshuva, it's tzom. But the focus of Tisha B'Av is the avelus. We never saw an oval fast. Adarav, Avelim, there's a Suda, the Suda Savrah, food is provided. I think a lot of us are swept away that Tisha B'Av is a fast day. That's not the Ikar. The fasting is secondary to the Avelus. When a person is in a state of Avelus, the food anyway has no time. A person's Avelus, your mind, a person's mind is shocked. You're in a state of shock. You don't enjoy the food. You may take in some food just to keep yourself going. Tisha B'Av, in addition to being a day of intense avelos, we also fast. We also superimpose upon it. It's a yom tzom to do tshuva, chait, pesha, avon, so on and so forth. But the primary focus of Tisha B'Av is the day of avelos. But there's also aninos. Yeah.
So where do the five categories of
inui fall out? That's part of the tzom. That's
an essential.
That's an essential part of the tzom. That is a din in the fasting. That's not the ra'ul of these takonas of the rabbanon. And it could even be mekel. Tisha B'Av is a time where if a person can't fast, there are many kulas. The leniencies of Tisha B'Av are a lot lighter than the leniencies of Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur is the only din deraisa. But it is. Some even hold that nikra din Tisha B'Av is manazez is bottled because it's part of Megillas Tainus, and Megillas Tainus was bottled, so Tisha B'Av is also bottled. We're machmir. We observe the Tainus. So not so simple to get out of, but it's not the ikar is the avelos. When is the anina? So he explains over here the anina is erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av, the morning, the fast is not. The fast is only on Tisha B'Av. But we have to remember Tisha B'Av, we're focusing on avelos, and avelos first comes aninus. What is aninus? Mesoy mutol lefanov. Tisha B'Av, if it's very hard to understand, it's no longer meisoy mutol lefanov. On Tisha B'Av, the meis has already been buried. The meis, the mikdash kaviyachol, if you want to,
it's old avelos.
So the meis, but erev Tisha B'Av is begeder meisoy. I don't have all the details, but meisoy mutol lefanov. That's how we have the sudas mafsekes. The sudas mafsekes is we sit down on the ground. We have to eat v'hespoididos. You're not allowed to eat with another person. You sit down. You immerse the egg. Egg is the food of avelim, of mourners. It's immersed in ashes, and in fact, you have an opportunity then to recite Birchas Hamazon. And Birchas Hamazon is full of references to Eretz Yisrael. Nodul Hashem Lokeinu Al Shenchal Tovav is an Eretz Chemda Toivu Urechava. And you make mention Uvenei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh Bemhera V'Yomenu. In many respects, what you can do Erev Tisha B'Av, the Sudas Mafsekes, is greater than what you can do on Tisha B'Av. Because Erev Tisha B'Av, you're able to actually make brachos. Brachos that were established in honor of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. Now, obviously, it's not a real aninus, because a real oinin does not make brachos. A rachmal son oinin does not make brachos, so we still have an obligation to make brachos, because he said it's not avelus, Yishon, it's not avelus. But when we want to match up Tisha B'Av to what the Targum says, that is called aninus and avelus, it is the aninus is... No. In the morning is avelos, in the afternoon is already it's a lighter form of avelos. See, even in avelos, we know that there are three levels of avelos. There's the first day of avelos, there are until the third day of avelos, and then from the third day to the end of the 7 days, there are three madregas. So on Tisha B'Av itself, there are madregas of avelos. You can maybe say that the night is the more intense degree of avelos, the morning until chatzos is the second darg of avelos, and the afternoon is the third madrega, parallel to the three different stages during Shiva, during the time of Shiva. But where is the aninus? The aninus is Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, it's Begeder Meisoy Mutal Lefanov. The corpse is right in front of us. And at that moment in time, the shock is that much greater. And then...
The aninus is really Moshe Tisha B'Av when Mashiach doesn't come. So then you're getting a Veilus again. You're getting aninus.
I don't understand. When Mashiach...
doesn't come.
Okay, that's a separate issue. That the Tisha B'Av is over and Mashiach didn't come. Oh, you want to say why he comes afterwards? You're trying to explain why the Targum said it in the reverse order.
This is before Tisha B'Av that Mashiach didn't come.
If a year goes by and they didn't build the Beis Hamikdash, it's like it was Chorvi.
Okay, so there is an idea. I'm not mistaken. This from Rav Soloveitchik. A lot of the best stuff on Tisha B'Av comes from Rav Soloveitchik. From Boston, because he was today they have only 100 programs on Tisha B'Av. Kinois go online, the OU, YU, and every organization has a kinos wherever you look. But the first one to do such a thing, not even realizing what he was doing, was Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik in Boston. He sat the whole morning, the whole day he sat. He sat and he darshened the kinnis. He darshened the kinnis and he gave shiurim and they were taped. And Rabbi J.J. Schachter actually put out, he actually has all the tapes, and he spent a lot of time. He put out a very impressive sefer organizing all of the thoughts of Rav Soloveitchik on the kinnis. And subsequently, most of that was taken by the OU and put into the Koren a kinnis for Tisha B'Av. It was redone. There were many other enhancements. But if you know, you look at the old book, and you look at the Koren, and you see it's clear as day is that they took chunks of material that was in by J.J. Schaffler's book. Maybe they listened to the same tapes.
They said
credit him. It's called Soloveitchik. Where do they get it from? Do they rewrite the book? Do they go back to the tapes and redo it over? It's very clear to me, at least, that they took a lot of it. The work was already done. They have other things. They have a new translation by Rabbi Weinreb. He retranslated the kinos, and they have also very nice short introductions. Fantastic short introductions of brand new fantastic. That was also added. But I think, if not mistaken, Rav Soloveitchik has this interesting idea that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is the reverse of the Avelus of a regular Avelus. Regular Avelus starts out with the most severe. Rachmanus, when a person dies, so there's Aninus. And then after Aninus, there is Shiva. And after Shiva comes Shloshim. And after Shloshim comes the entire year. When we come to Tisha B'Av, we're going in the reverse order. The reverse order, we first, as we get to Chodesh Tammuz, we're already entering in. Chodesh Tammuz has begun. It's a time to take note. These 2 months, Tammuz and Av, they're not such great months for us. Then when we get to Shiva also with Tammuz, it really tests. When you come to the ninth day of Tammuz, that's a Yom Tzom. Some people, in fact, fast. They hold it's a good day to fast because according to the Pasuk says that on the ninth day of Tammuz is when the wall of Yerushalayim was breached in the time of the Bayis Rishon. And also, so that it also happens to be Vav, the Erev this year, it happens to be Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. And Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas was the time of the Srefa Satara Shali Srufa Ba'esh in Paris, when there was a debate between Rabbi Chilmi Paris and the real time Rami Ramrock. He was 22 years old. He witnessed there was a debate between Rabbi Chilmi Paris and Nicholas Dunin. It was resulted in all the Srefa Sat Talmud, and that took place on
the York side of the Srefa Sat Talmud.
Today is Chav Sivan?
Friday.
Wait.
It's not a date. It's always Friday.
The Friday before Parshas Chukas. So the Friday, so this year, the Friday, so normally they would fast. In times, years ago, when people were strong, they would fast on the Friday before Parshas Chukas. It was learned, it was She'elas Chaloim. They made a request in a dream why this happened, and it was told to them, Zos Chukas HaTorah. That's another discussion. Maybe we'll learn about it. Maybe at the end of the week we'll talk about it. And they was told to them that it's Erev Shabbos Parashas Chukas is the time to focus on the Srefas HaTalmud. And so we don't fast because it's too difficult to fast. But they used to fast years ago. But then there's another day you're supposed to fast, and that is the ninth day of Tammuz. Because the ninth day of Tammuz is when the Pasuk says the walls of Yerushalayim were breached in the time of the Bayis Rishon. So I saw Rabbi Tezner writes that he records that when the two coincide, when Tammuz coincides with Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, you have both of them together, then you should make an extra effort to fast.
This year.
He says it happens pretty often. It's not so uncommon to happen. When test Talmud pulls down Erev Shabbos, the two coincide, then if you're capable, which I don't think you see people doing anyway, then it will be an inyan to fast the two are together. But in any event, of Soloveitchik, if I'm not mistaken, he has this fascinating observation, and he says, look at Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, the Avelus is the reverse of the Avelus of a regular person. A regular person, it starts out, there's no Avelus. A person can be a Goises. I know someone, I can't get over this. I know where I talked to him already for 2-3 years. Every time I talk to him, he makes me feel that his parents are elderly people. They must be close to 100 years old. And he tells me, every time I talk to him, I get off the phone, that it's imminent. They're about to pass. Any moment. Call in the troops. Call in the minion. And, oh my, it might happen. I'm getting in here on earth. They're 100 years old. Baruch Hashem. And they're totally out of it. Totally. And this is going on for 2 years. 2 years. A person can be a goyseis. There is no Avelus whatsoever, not even a tinge of Avelus when a person is a goyseis. After the person leaves the world, then is when it all begins. And from there, it all goes downhill. It all goes Aninos, Avelus, 3 different stages of Avelus. Then comes Shloishim, Tochshana, 1 yard side, the first yard side, the next yard side, it all goes down. The Beis Hamikdash, just the opposite. When Tisha B'Av is over, that's it. After this, the tenth day of Av Chatzoy. So this year you don't have to wait anymore, because this year it's going to be it's a nitcha. So Mitzvah Shabbos, you're going to run away. Everything is over. It's kamat, except for eating meat. Except you can eat meat till Sunday morning. You have to wait until the morning.
Sunday night is basically all over,
except for eating meat. Except for eating meat, that's in the tinus. But pretty much it's all over. Instant. There's no residual on a regular year. In a regular year, you wait until you do laundry right away. In a regular year, you have to wait until it's chatzos. But because the basis was still burning, so we're really still not veilous. And this was not really fully over. But once it's over, finished. It's over. There's no residual avelos. It's complete. But so where is all the stages? All the stages are before.
Previous.
You work your way up. You work your way up. Tammuz, Tes Tammuz, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Chodesh Av, the 9 days, Shavuos Shechalboy, Erev Tisha B'Av. You work your way up. In regular Avelus, you work your way down. Okay, so this is an observation makes. Now he explains. I don't remember the depth. He must explain what the logic is. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, I think the similar answer is, you know, we know that the Aleph Beis by us, it's Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey. We go one way. But by Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem created the world, it's just the opposite. The first letter, that's what it says in the very Svar by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Aleph Beis starts with Tav. And that's why Tav, it's always Emes. It's always referenced by Chazal as the letter of Emes. Why? Because Emes is the beginning. Emes is the Yesh L'Raglayim, but the Chazal, but Emes by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts with Tav, then it goes to Shin, Reish, Kuf, Tzadi, Pei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem goes down. When Hashem created the world, Hashem, He sent down, He began with Tav, He sent it down. It's the first in, last out. That's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. That's why on Shabbos, Musaf, is the Kanta Shabbos, Ratzitza, Karbon, Otsecha. Some of the piyutim are in Aleph Beis order, and some piyutim are in opposite order. So the point is, if I'm not mistaken, this one idea is that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is in reverse to remind us we're not the only ones mourning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning with us. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avelus is even greater when you go in the reverse order. That is indicative that it's that you don't look at it from your perspective. Look at it from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning, is in greater degree of mourning than us. That partially, this idea is hinted to in this very pasuk, because this very pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused in Klal Yisrael in a ribuy of of Avelos and Aninos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the order is reversed. Antishvav itself, we first have, the truth is we have first Aninos. I told that's a, you have to, don't confuse the different ideas. You know, each idea stands on its own. We mentioned before that Antishvav, Avelos takes place on Bo Bayom, night, day, afternoon. And Erev Tishvav is even worse. We can eat. The Tzom does not begin, but the Avelos Erev Tishbav is even worse. There's Aninos, it's Begeder Neitz and Mutal Lefonov. That's one idea. Aninos, Avelos. But here the Targum says Avelos and then Aninos, because the Targum is alluding to the fact that the Seder of Avelos for the Beis Hamikdash is in the reverse order than what we observe with regard to a person, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is feeling the Tzar with us. Imay Anochi Bitzara, and when you look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see everything in opposite side. There's more.
The problem touches upon what we all know is that the reason the there was so much Chorban before and not after is leading up to the Chorban, we were all so afraid that survival was maybe yes and maybe no. But after he took out all his wrath on the Eitz of Avonim, we realized we would survive. So even though Tisha B'Av is Chorban, when the fast is over, when Tisha B'Av is over,
relief.
It was a relief,
relief
that we survived at least.
Yeah, okay.
We survived.
So the Avelos comes to an end. It stops.
Right. In the Hanami. I just wanted to mention the skinheads in England, in the Jewish neighborhood of London, golden was green or something.
Yeah,
green. Planning to burn the Talmud.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yes.
Wow. And yeah, Sunday, July 4th. Shivasar Batanz.
Sunday, July 4th.
Oh. Wow.
No, on Shabbos, they're planning to do it on Shabbos. They're planning to do it July 4th on Shabbos, Shivasar Batanz, to demonstrate in the Jewish neighborhood and to burn the Talmud.
Oi, all right. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav. Vayachmois kegan suko. Suko, let's assume the word suko is spelled with a samach. If it would be spelled with a sabach, it would be translated as like a sukkah, a tabernacle. And this is a code for the Beis Hamikdash. Vayachmos means to raise, to tear down, or more precisely, the way it's going to translate, it actually says kurisa. Kurisa means to cut out, cut like a guard, but it doesn't necessarily, if we'll see for the context, it means to take all the fruit. A garden, there are trees. You go into the garden, you don't necessarily cut down the trees. You clean out all the fruit, or you pluck off all the fruit from the trees, and the garden now is barren. Or whatever a thing of value that is present is removed. Vayachmois HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he cut down kegan, like a garden, suko, his tabernacle, his Beis HaMikdash. It has been cleansed. It has been completely destroyed. Shicheis Moado, he destroyed Moado, the place of assembly, the place where he meets. Moed means to meet. Vad comes from the word vad. Rashi will explain. Shikach Hashem b'tzion moed v'shabbos. Hashem caused for that it should be forgotten in Tzion, a moed, a festival, and Shabbos. Vayinatz b'zamapo melech v'chohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spurned. What's another word for spurned? He b'zam in his fury. Rejected in his fury the king and the Kohen, referring to Tzidkiyahu and Tzeroyahu, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time of the Churban Bais. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Vav. What is it? Vayachmos Rashi, Loshon Kirisa, to cut down. V'chein Yachmos Kagefen, to cut down like a vine. Same exact expression, just like a vine is full of fruit. Full of fruit, you rip off all the fruit, all of the grapes off the vine. Nech nesu ak.
Hamas, which expresses
violence. Hamas, violence. Hamas. Hamas. Violence. A violent destruction. A violent destruction of the vine. Nech nesu ak kevecho, your footsteps have been cut down. I've cut down your footsteps, your ability, your mobility to travel, to move, has been cut down, violently been disturbed. Kagan, here Rashi explains the connection of Yachmos and Kagan, Kemoshe Goizizin, Yerokois Hagina. We share, the fruit of the garden. You pluck the fruit off from the garden, there's nothing left. It appears that it has been violently destroyed when there's nothing left. Sukkah, what is Sukkah? Me'una, so his abode. Sukkah iksiv with a sin. Shucha iksiv. Rashi here is asking the question, why does it spell the word Sukkah in the unusual way with a sin, which requires us to substitute it with a samach? Why couldn't the Pasuk say, write it with a samach? The answer is the Pasuk wants to allude to another idea, a very powerful idea, Shechocha. Vachanas hamelech Shechocha. The anger of the king subsided. Now what's the greater meaning there? So he explains over here, I saw him in the sefer, it's actually a different sefer, Rabinowitz's sefer, he has sefer on Eicha. He explains that Darka Shalom, when a person has an enemy and you take revenge, after you finish taking revenge, nothing changes. I hate him, I hate my enemy, I've done the most I can possibly do. If I could have done more, I would have done more. I already killed him. I took his bones and I grinded them to smithereens. There's nothing left for me to do. I've taken away all his money. When I think about my enemy, am I filled with hate? Of course. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed.
But you cooled off.
What? No, you didn't. That's what he's saying. He's saying that when Darkoi, and that's exactly the point. This is the hidden blessing. That's what Rabbi Rabinowitz is trying to explain in this passage. This is a hidden blessing in disguise. That Darka Shalom, when one has an enemy and you fight against an enemy and you take revenge, your anger does not subside. By Achashverosh, it was unique. The Hamas Hamel Shechacha, that was some, you know, some appreciation. What?
It was kept going when he would have cooled down, but they stoked his anger further. That was
Minash Shamayim.
That's how the story
went. So, but it came to an end. After they killed Vashti, after they killed Vashti, then it came to an end. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Ches. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, enough. Now, once again, I can return. We can resume our good relationship. Good relationship. We can be on peaceful terms. By Rachman Litzlan, people who are divorced, you don't hear people that are divorced after the divorce, if they get divorced because of a quarrel, you don't generally hear that after the divorce they're on good terms. They stay away from each other. I mean, that's what I'm assuming. Here it's saying, now that we've got divorced, we can be best friends. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. I've punished you, and now I've destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and now Hamas HaMelech Shechacha, I can love you once again. We can start fresh, a new beginning.
Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's the Malbim and the Chumash Biafu Bechemo Bekezav Gadol. He explains the difference between all three different types of anger. You could have anger that seethes inside of you, and you have the anger that you're actually physically lashing out. You physically lashing out, you just get rid of your frustration, so to speak, and you let it out, and it's over. But when it seethes inside, it just keeps burning and burning, and that's the worst type of anger. So,
okay, so here it subsided. So that's what Rashi over here says, why we spell it with a shin. One more time, the words of Rashi. Move to the side. Munasa iksiv shucha with a shin, not with a sin. Shucha iksiv sheshichei chamosai al banav. He poured out his anger upon. Here, Lashon, he poured out his anger upon his children. B'chum beiso. His anger subsided al banav through the Chorban Beiso. Midrash, B'midrash Kinos, this idea has been expounded in the Midrash of Kinos. Kinos, we all know that Eicha is called Kinos. Okay, Shicheis Moado, he destroyed his abode, his place of meeting. Beis Kodshe HaKadoshim Shesham Hoye Noed Lebonav Shenemar. That's where he would meet his Jewish people. I will meet you over there. So here Rashi tells us that seems to differentiate between Sukkot and Moado, as if the Tzedek HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but maybe he would have had a Havamina to allow the Kodesh HaKadoshim to exist. Such a concept. Hashem will just destroy the Har Bayis, the outer edifice, but the Kodesh HaKadoshim there, that will always remain intact. No, that was also destroyed as well. Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he caused to be forgotten in Tzion Moed V'Shabos, Vayinatz B'Zamapoy Melech, the Chanu is the Melech, Tzidkiyahu, and Hamelech, Usirayahu, Kohen Gadol, they were rejected, they were cast out, sent to exile at the time of Lechum Bayis Rishon. Let's look at Targum Pasuk Vav. Vav Vishere. Sherish means to uproot. Okay, that's a whole different translation than the words of Rashi. Rashi was kurisa, to cut down. When you cut something down, the roots, if you're dealing with a plant or in a garden, the roots remain in the ground. And there is potential for regrowth. Targum takes an entirely different approach to the word vayachmos. It means sheresh. Sheresh means to uproot. He uprooted kiginta beis mikdusha. Like a garden. A garden sometimes needs to be uprooted to prepare for the next season. The base mukdeshay. Chavil asar, he destroyed asar. Now here we have a very powerful idea of what it means, moado. Not like Rashi. Asar, the place, mizumon lichapara al amei, up for his nation. Amei inshay, upon the place that is set aside to forgive his to forgive his people. So the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Mokom where the Dam HaPar, Dam HaSoyer, where the Ketores, offering Yom HaKippur, which provides atonement for Klal Yisrael, and this was destroyed. Our ability to achieve true Kapara has been taken away from us with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's a mouthful. That's not something that you think, okay, so there's no Beis HaMikdash. We can anyway, so whatever Beis HaMikdash. It's not what it says of it. It says of the real Kapara, we don't really appreciate what this means, but the real Kapara only comes if we had a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have this, we don't have the ability to have Kapara. Then the Targum goes further to say, in Shei, Hashem caused to be forgotten. Inshe Hashem b'tzion chedvas yoma tova v'shabata. The joy of Yom Tov and Shabbos. So it's not just the observance of Shabbos. It's the simcha of Shabbos, the joy of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Ushna b'skof rugzei and a kodesh baruch hu. He repeated. Mishnah means to repeat. Bitkoif Rugzei in his intense hour, in intense anger. Bitkoif Rugzei Malka V'Chahana Rabba. I'm sorry. Mishnah means he changed. He changed locations. He caused them to go into exile. That's Vayinatz. Mishnah. He caused them to change locations. Bitkoif Rugzei Malka, the king, V'Chahana Rabba, and the Koyein Gadol.
What made the Kodashim
Kodashim? Not the Gzeres HaKosef. The Aron, okay, but the Aron was put in Geniza.
If the Aron still exists, then the Mokom.
Okay, the Aron was put in Geniza 40 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. I'm not sure if it was 40, but the Aron was put in Geniza before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Even if the Aron is not present, the Kodesh HaKadoshim does have Kedusha. You're asking a very interesting question. What gives Kedusha to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Is it the Aron and the Kruvim? Is it the Luchos? Or is it the Mokom? Okay, this is a very deep question, which is a topic of discussion. In the Bayis Sheni, we know there was no Aron. There was no Aron, there were no Kruvim. So the question is, does the prohibition of the Cholzar, the prohibition of not entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim apply to the same degree in the Bayis Sheni when there's no Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Is it the Mokom? This is the Mokom that has been set aside as Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Shechin is resting there regardless? Or no, you need to have the Aron there to be present. So this is a debate. This is not so simple. But nevertheless, it's still considered to be the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Pasuk here says it was destroyed when the Mikdash was destroyed, and we know that the Aron was already taken out of the Mikdash way before that. Okay, we discussed we discussed last week. That's one of this is really weird, the idea I just went a little bit for last week is this beautiful idea of chedva. I have to turn the machine around over there in the back. Okay, but we learned last week that Toiv is the gematria 17. 17 multiplied by 6 is 100, 102. And the word, and the word Nechmad, Nun, the beginning of Nechmad, is exactly 102. Shabbos is Nechmad. Why is it Nechmad? It is Vayar Lokim es Kol Asher Asa Vihine Tov Ma'od. Tov Ma'od is the synthesis of the six times it says Tov. My separations comes together on Shabbos. This idea is very well felt in this Targum, where the Targum says that Wawu Hashem Inshe, he caused to forget Hashem Betzion Chedvas. Chedvas is the word Nechmad. Okay, it's not the exact same word, but it's the Sherish of Nechmad. The joy of Shabbos is the Chemdas Hayomim. It's Nechmat. And this Simcha was forgotten with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Zonach Hashem Mizbicho. Hashem rejected. He rejected his Mizbeach near Mikdasho. He uprooted. Near means Bittel. Rashi says it means Bittel. And according to the Targum, it means... empty out, or bought is to reject. The Targum translates it to mean, it means ba'at. Ba'at means to kick. It means to reject. Okay, Rashi here says Neil. See Rashi says here means bitl. Okay, Hashem bitl, he put an end to Migdashoi. Hiskir biyad oyev, he delivered in the hands of the enemy, Chaymos Amnosech, the walls of his palaces. Kol nosnu beis Hashem kiyomor. This is a very powerful pasuk. Hashem caused that there would be a coil, a sound of joy, of celebration in the Beis Hashem, kiyoim moye, like a day of a festival. Now, what does all of this mean? Let's see Rashi first. Zayin Rashi, Nier Bitel. Nier Migdosho Bitel Hi Hashem, put an end, put to an end. Dechein Na'arta Beris Avodecha, you have negated the covenant of your servant. So in that pasuk, it means bittel. It's no longer active. The covenant is no longer active. It's over. Here as well, the mikdash is no longer functional. Kiyoyim ha'ed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered it in the mikdash in the hands of the enemy, and Hashem caused to forget the chord, caused the sound of kiyoyim ha'ed. So this means, according to Rashi, shahayu smechim u'mesherim b'soychoy b'kol rom, the enemy. They were singing and dancing inside b'kol rom. Kein nasnu ha'ovim b'chorbonoi. Just like on a Yom Ha'ed, on a day of a festival, whether it was Rosh Hashanah, or it was Sukkot, or Pesach, or Shavuos, there was singing and dancing in the Beis HaMikdash. That exact degree of Simcha was now being expressed by our enemies when they entered into the Beis HaMikdash and they celebrated there. Shahayu smechem b'sharim b'shabsocha b'kol ram, kei nasnu ho'oivim b'churbanoi kol simcha. Our enemies, they gave forth a call of simcha when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now Rashi does not tell us, Moed is not specific. Moed can be any one of the festivals. All of the festivals was a time of joy, and that joy was now exchanged for the joy that the enemies had when they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Targum is a little bit different. Targum Pasuk Zayin, Ashley. Ashley means to forget. Ashley means to forget, but it means it's a translation of Zonach, which we'll just translate now very simply, means to reject. Hashem mad b'chei v'mizbeach. We know that in Yeshaya, Shabbos Chazoin, Hashem says, "Why I don't need your korbanos? You think that you can bring korbanos on the mizbeach and that's going to appease me? It's not what I'm interested in. The mizbeach, the place where the sacrifice will be rejected. Ashley Hashem mad b'chei kama. Hashem rejected the mizbeach. Be'at makdeshei. Hashem rejected, or the same idea as Rashi, Nia was Mevatel Bita, he kicked the Mikdash. Misari, he delivered Biyad the El Devav, and our enemies. Shura Bir Niyasa, he delivered the walls of the palaces. Kala Yavu Beves Mukdesha, the Hashem, a voice was raised up in the base of Mikdash. Kikal Amo, just like the voice of the nation, Beis Yisrael, Din Tzalion, that would pray, Begavei B'yoyma de Pischa. An amazing parish from the Targum. He adds in two very interesting ideas. Number one, the moed here specifically is Pesach. And number two, he used the word, it's not a call like Rashi said of Simechim u'mishoyrim, joy and singing.
But the Korban Pesach, there was challah.
Oh, there was challah, right? He doesn't even say that. He says tefillah. Tzalosa. Tzalosa is not shira. There are plenty of words in Targum to refer to song and dance and joy. He focuses on prayer. The prayer of Klal Yisrael, the time of Pesach. Now, what is the prayer? What is the prayer of the time of Pesach? I don't have an answer. Hallel. What? Hallel. No, Hallel is not a prayer. That's Shira. Shira. There are two different things. You're right. He has a discussion over here that there are two types of Hallel. We know that some say Hallel in Shul on the night of Pesach, and then you go home and say Hallel again at the Seder. So there are different types of Hallel. There's a Hallel midin Shira, and there's a Hallel midin. Well, in a, maybe you want to like that approach. The Hallel just midin of Hallel, giving praise. Two different types of Hallel. Hallel and Shira, they're two different types of Hallel. There's a lot of this brisketer. I don't know the difference, but it just I don't have an answer, but. You have to study this further, that there is a degree of prayer on Pesach. L'chor, the prayer is, it's a new beginning. Pesach represents a new haskalah. When a child comes into the bris, what do we say? We mispalel. Kishem shenichnas lebris, ken yikonis l'torah l'chor b'lamaisim tovim. That is a prayer, that is a tefillah. It's a very beautiful tefillah, being mispalel that he should be a successful, have a good life. How often do you mispalel about the whole life? You mispalel for today. Let me just forget my life. I'm worried what's going to be in 10 years from now. I'm worried about getting through today. I'm worried about having enough what to say to get through the shir. You're worried about what's going to be. It's going to be in 5 years from now. Worry about today. How often do you have a situation where you mispalel a prayer for your entire life? The only time you have such prayers is when you're at the very beginning. When you're in the middle, you're worried about the middle and the end. You're not worried about the big picture. When you're at the beginning, then you look and see the big picture. Pesach is man when we renew our vows with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesach is the carbon of Geirus. We're all Geirim. Ki Geirim v'seshavat v'modi. We're all Geirim. We come in. We're mispalel that we should be successful in our coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that tefillah is a very special tefillah, and that type of tefillah is what the equivalent of what the Goyim, what they expressed at the time when they conquered the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I know I'm forgetting. We'll have to come back to when I remember it later. Let's see. Pasuk Ches. Choshav Hashem lahashchis chaymas basiyon notakov leheishiv yodei mibaleya Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu. He planned, and Rashi will tell us that he planned this for a very long time. The Chorban Beis Hamikdash did not happen overnight. This was in planning because of our sins to destroy the walls of basiyon notakov. He stretched out the plumb line, a measuring rod. In other words, the destruction was done with precision. He did not withdraw his hand from swallowing up the Beis HaMikdash. And he caused to mourn the Chel V'Choyma Yachtav Lalu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused to mourn together the two different types of walls. There's a low wall and a high wall in the construction. The Gemara Baba Basra discussed this concept that when you build a wall, you have to build a low wall and a high wall in order to confuse the animals or the rodents when they jump over. We'll leave that for now. But there are two different types of walls, and both of them they mourn here. Let's see first Rashi Pasuches Chitshav Hashem LaHashkes Ze Yamim Rabim Shalso Al Daitoy Kach Al Shprachu. Planned this for a very long time. Shneimar Ki Al Ki al api vi al chamosi hoy soli hoy razos lahasira me al ponai. It was through my anger, various forms of anger before me, it was aroused to remove the Beis HaMikdash from before me. Not a kov, shel nishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stretched the plumb line. What's the line? What's the line? The kov literally means a line. The line of judgment. shel mishpat lipara to punish us al avoneinu for our sins. Mi balea me hashchis, Hashem did not withdraw His hand from destroying. Chel v'choyma. What are these two words? Chel v'choyma. Seemingly, they mean exactly the same thing. So Rashi tells us they're not the same. There is shura ubar shura. Chel is appears to be the row. The row means the main wall. Ubar shura choyma relative to the chel is the shorter wall. There are different layers of protection. There are layers of protection between fortifications for the city. Ubar shura choyma nemucha shekineged choyma gavoa, the low wall opposite the high wall. Okay, there is a very popular word that almost every sefer I opened up says the same thing. What does it mean, notokov? Notokov, Rashi told us, means to extend the plumb line for... Oh wait, did we do the targum in the previous pasuk? Pasuk Zion? Yeah, right. I'm sorry. Okay, we'll do the time over here. But what does it mean not to cover? So Rashi told us in the coming of Kadosh Baruch Hu, he went and he extended the line of judgment. Hashem, the Son, is now going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But the word not to cover is normally used in reference to construction. It's not used in reference to destruction. So why is this being used here? So the answer is halach and shulchan aruch and bava basra, that if you have if you want to do renovations, if you want to build a new Beis HaKnesses, you are not allowed to demolish the old Beis HaKnesses until you first build a new Beis HaKnesses, because there is a concern if you're going to demolish and build a new one in its place, maybe you won't get a chance, something will come up, you'll need to divert all the funds for pidyon shvuyim, or you'll need the money, will just how the pledges just won't come in. So pi halacha, you are not permitted to demolish a Beis HaKnesses until you already have laid the foundation and already have significantly built the new Beis HaKnesses. So that's exactly what it says over here. When Baruch Hu decided that he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is in violation of what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Hashem is also bound to follow the rules of Shulchan Aruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already prepared the Bayis Shlishi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, Choshav, he planned, Lahashchis Choymas Basiyon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this era, this tkufa, this mikdash must come to an end, the sins are so great, I have no choice but to destroy the Bayis Sheni. So the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was he began to plan the building of the Bayis Shlishi. Not a kof, he laid the foundation. And this means both physically and symbolically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he right away, I guess he set the stage. He set the stage for everything in Shemayim and on Aretz that will be needed to guarantee that the Bayis Shlishi will be built. That is a prerequisite before HaKadosh Baruch Hu can proceed and take down the Bayis Sheni. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Ches. Chashev Hashem planned lechabalah, to destroy Shur Kinishta de Tzion, to destroy the Shur, the wall of the Kinishta de Tzion, of the assembly of Tzion, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Sot means to move, Heset, like in the sugis of Tumah V'Tahara, Heset Kli. He moved the Mishke Loisa, the plumb line, the weight, the Lo Asev Yadei, he did not withdraw his hands, Mil Sheitzah, from destroying. The Avil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, caused mourning, Mak Fana, the Shura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he caused to mourn the Makfana Vishura, Kachado Ispagaru. The Chel and the Choyma together, Umlalu, together. Now the Targum here translates it Ispagaru. Pagaru means Neharasu, were destroyed. Together they both were obliterated. Vayeval Chel v'Choyma. The Chel and Choyma were in a state of mourning. Yachtov umlalu, together they came crashing down. The destruction was swift. That's the point over here, is that normally the two walls are for defense purposes. If I'm not mistaken, Chizkiyahu, that was one of his techniques in protecting Yerushalayim at the time of Sancheriv. There was a double wall. The enemies, they spend all their effort all of their resources to go and take down one wall. To take down one wall, you have to go build ramparts, and all the things they build for the first wall, they're not going to help them for the second wall. It's a two layers of defense, and by that time the enemies are weakened, and then from within you can conquer the enemy from without. But the defeat of Yerushalayim was so swift, the inner wall and the outer wall came crashing down together. That's the intensity of the pasuk Yachdav Lalu. Okay, let's stop here.